So it's really kind of the unforeseen problems that we create for ourselves when we use technology and we don't think about what we're doing, or the technology ends up causing us to do something we didn't really intend to do. You know, a good example of that would be the people who are complaining in their workplace about their job or about their boss, and they accidentally send the email to the entire office instead of just to the person they're planning to talk to. Or some of the unintended consequences, and this is particularly true for kids, of taking photos or being tagged in a photo without realizing that that's happening, or without necessarily realizing how far photos can spread way beyond what they actually intend.
And it does seem to be such a complicated issue because it's almost like adults, they've never gone through it as a child, but they're trying
right.
to keep control of it for their own children.
It's a hugely complicated issue for parents and for teachers. And that's part of the work that I'm trying to do is to, number one, give parents more information, but also give them the confidence to approach these issues. And, you know, my big takeaway when we do the community event is going to be that, you know, parents have experience. They have life experience. They have hopefully some wisdom that they can give their children to help them guide how they use these devices. And above all, providing context and offering communication with the kids on a daily basis makes a huge difference.
You've presented all over the country to, you know, thousands of parents. What have you found is, you know, the main problem that parents are having? And
well, the main problem parents are having, honestly, is saying no. And that's, you know, that's been an ongoing challenge, I think, in various areas for the last, you know, couple of decades. And you know, the thing is that these devices are designed, honestly, to be attractive to kids, to be very compelling. And so there's an enormous amount of peer pressure among kids, you know, with respect to which devices are you using or do you have the latest device and so forth. And what I urge parents to think about is, number one, to form a unit, you know, a parental unit if they can, if that's an option, with the kids to help the kids to understand that having the latest device is not necessarily in their best interest. And so a big part of the message is, can we slow down kids getting access to these devices? Can we give kids more time to interact with the world without staring at a screen? And I'm increasingly convinced for a large number of both psychological and physical reasons that that's incredibly important, that we do a real disservice to our kids if we let them substitute, you know, a virtual experience behind a screen with actual physical, you know, movement around the world. So, you know, that's the big one right there. And then the second thing I think that is super important is to really engage in ongoing conversations with kids of every age about how they're using their devices. What are they doing with them? Who are they interacting with? What kinds of things are they seeing online? Because the reality is that kids will always be more advanced than parents are inclined to give them credit. And so parents need to do their best to try to stay up to speed with that and help kids understand the impact of what they're seeing. You know, the average age at which kids are using these devices is now under a year. And we're starting to see kids getting online earlier and earlier because it just becomes easier to do. And so what that means, among other things, is that kids are being exposed to things that are way above their maturity level. And it puts a burden on parents to help provide understanding and context for what kids are seeing.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for all of that great information. I know exactly what you mean when you say children being on a device and then not being physically present in the world, because I know what's super popular among the kids is just watching other children play online.
Yes, I mean, these are called run-throughs or walk-throughs on YouTube, and they're staggeringly popular. I mean, the idea that there's this virtual experience that is substituting for your own hands-on interaction with the world is really disturbing. And you know, I have been looking at the issues of tactile experience and empathy and so forth. And so you have this mixture of psychological and physical effects that we're only just beginning to appreciate. I mean, again, if we're talking about smartphones being 11 years old, the high-end tablets that little kids are using now are even more recent than that. And so we're conducting this very broad, unregulated experiment on our kids in terms of what these devices will do to their development, to their ability to interact in the real world, their ability to focus on tasks. All of these things are being called into question by these incredibly addictive devices.